Nothing like baseball analogies when it comes to the markets. Doug Scioca likes to play around, and he does it well with that, using his local home team. We're talking about the Kansas City Royals. He is back with us. Doug is a chief executive officer, partner at Cavour Capital Partners, about $425 million in assets under management based in Leawood, Kansas, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio.
How did they do last year, the Royals? I can't remember.
Oh, let me remind you, they did as well as you can do after coming up 90 feet short against your boys the season before.
So, spring training.
Spring training is underway, and yeah. We're trying to find some snappy analogies to keep some levity in markets with our clients these days. And there definitely are some corollaries between structuring a competitive investment portfolio and structuring a competitive baseball lineup, right? You've got to reconfigure your starting lineup. You've got to fortify your bench. You've got to buckle down for a long season. You have to hope that you stay healthy. In the market analogy, staying healthy would be staying out of the crosshairs.
There's a lot of snappy investment phrases in what you just said. It sounds like your customers, as you said, they need levity. I mean, how frustrated are they? How nervous are they, Doug?
I think it's certainly registering higher and higher on the meter, just the way that volatility returned to the market last year. There'd certainly been a sense of complacency that had crept into the investor psyche, and with what took place in August and September of last year, that was shattered. And I think as advisors and fiduciaries, we preach preparedness, but when the market falls 11% in 6 days like it did last summer, it's very difficult to be prepared for something like that. And
yeah.
I think Corey made a great comment, and you and he both in your exchange about energy, is why is the correlation energy so tight? Understanding that 10-year correlations, historically, only going about 10 years, the correlation with the S&P and a barrel of oil is negative. And this year, I mean, if you watch the futures this morning, as soon as oil turned down on the comments that had come out of Iran, even before the Saudi Arabian oil minister spoke, as soon as oil turned over, so did the futures.
Why do you think there is that correlation?
You know, I really think, Carol, because in a market that's grasping for something tangible, oil is it, right? If you think about Fed monetary policy, not tangible. If you think about Chinese intervention, both fiscal and monetary policy, certainly not tangible. If you think about the presidential election, for crying out loud, not tangible. You know, I actually, there was a quote from a great movie called An American President, which was...
I love that movie.
Loved it. I thought it was one of Michael J. Fox's and Michael Douglas' best movies. And there was a quote, and I printed it out in contemplation of the tight correlations and the driver that energy is of the markets. And Michael J. Fox says to Michael Douglas, right, people want a leadership. And in the absence of genuine leadership, to listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. And right now, when you have a Saudi minister and you have an Iranian minister, when you have the CEO of BP 2 weeks ago talking about the ongoing glut through 2017, this is tangible because there is actually an energy market. And in the absence of stabilization, the market will not find stability.
That's interesting. It's interesting also because when we think about the way that the markets tend to focus on what they do, I feel like a lot of investors, most investors, stick to their knitting. And if they trade commodities, they trade commodities. If they trade options, they're trading, you know, the options for the things that they trade. If they're straight equities, they're straight equities. And while they tend to, they will have a general knowledge about what goes on in the broader market, maybe the direct correlations aren't the way that your day-to-day investor looks at the market.
I don't think that's a poor way to look at it at all, Corley. I think in general, though, there's a bifurcation in stocks between growth and value, and right in energy sectors, energy stocks historically have been great value components to portfolios because of the consistency of their dividend production. And when that began to fall last year, there began to be some forced liquidation. And as you know, I mean, when you have forced liquidation, you're looking at the best investments often are the ones that are sold first because they're the only ones that don't have to go through the process of price discovery. So there certainly began a process of a domino effect of capital that needed to be raised in commodity sector, agnostic or otherwise. It may have led the charge, but it wasn't the only domino in the string.
Do you feel like what's going on in energy and actually a lot of commodities, that it's indicative, Doug, of something bigger, broader going on or no?
It's a great question. I think that the problem, right, the why energy is having such a large and maybe outsized versus historical influence on stocks, and why we're so tuned into the People's Bank of China.
Because energy demand is up year over year. It's just supply is up even more.
Even more, right? Yeah. And what's happening, right, is it started to say that the big problem is we don't have a stiff enough spine as a domestic or even global economy to defend against some of this price fluctuation. So yes, it's having a bigger than average impact because we don't have the firmest framework with which to withstand some of these price gyrations, the identification of the marginal or the swing producer, and left to our own devices, the stock market may find a path of least resistance is then to sell and wait till things get sorted out. So I think the bigger problem is we don't have a strength in a global economy. And domestically, hey, we're going to hear on Friday that we may have grown a whopping 0.4%, revised down from 0.7% in the fourth quarter. Right? If that's the case and we're seeing these swings and the delicacy under which we exist, and the Fed is in the context of raising rates and tightening monetary policy intended to slow an economy, boy, I mean, that is definitely going to weigh on people's confidence in committing new capital to the markets.
So what are you committing? You're pulling cash out?
He likes sin stocks.
Well, I was saying to Carol that...
Sin or sin stocks? Or both?
Say it again.
He's not a sinner. He just likes sin stocks.
Right. Who among us, right, should cast the first stone? But we actually have our stock portfolios that they center on, and this may sound like a silly structure, but on things that make you sick, like caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, salty snacks, fast food, which all sort of fall into the category of high dividend paying consumer staples, and also things that make you better, right? Pharmacological companies, generic drugs, medical devices, different chemical compound manufacturers, right? This theme covers both domestic and international equity investing. And if you think about, right, every market cycle has very unique markings, but the core tenets of human behavior are really pretty common. Right, you're going to see the pursuit of happiness through self-indulgence that typically persists until you're right on the precipice of some type of a health scare. At that point, you may then undergo some behavioral modification, which typically involves medical intervention.
And then you get better, and then you go back.
Yeah.
That's human nature. That's yes. Human nature.
Wash, and in 20 seconds, why those now? Just 20 seconds.
No, but you've been
It's not
while,
only
right?
now. I think yeah. It's why those ever. Corey, and again, it's human behavior. And that's one thing that is going back to the question about the influence of energy, it's tangible. And there is demand, and there are companies, particularly in the last 7 to 10 years through consolidation, that have improved their competitive position.
So this is a name like Altria Group, and you've been with them for a long time.
I think all companies within that general sector, without counting anyone specifically, have been very, very positive contributions to performance.
Interesting. And by the way, Altria is up about 6% in a market that's been beaten down this year. Interesting.
Case in point.
Always fun. Doug, thank you.
Thank you.
Be well. Doug Cioka, Chief Executive Officer, Partner at Taver Capital Partners, based in Leawood, Kansas, on Bloomberg Radio.